T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
We are halfway through here on a Friday. 888-957-9570. JD for Steiny. We got Guru's Lock of the Day coming up at 1:20 as he does that to each and every day. Goo on fire of late. We'll get you updated on how things played out for
Hashtag
Goo.
Hashtag ride the Goo.
Hashtag ride the Goo. That's right. Ride the Goo.
If he wins again with you in the main seat,
undefeated.
JD, I'm afraid that Steiner may have to continue heading east across the Atlantic and onto continental Europe, because if Goo's this hot with JD in the A chair, then I think Dwayne Kuiper knows what happens to Steiny.
Yeah, I woke up this morning and the fire trucks out front. I don't know what they're here for, but your boy is hot.
Well, not 'cause there's a cat stuck in the tree, that's for sure.
There have also been many texts, guys, on the text line, of course, 888-957-9570, that have said, any coincidence that Stephen Curry goes nuclear white hot during this stretch where Steiny is gone as well?
You guys like Dime Time to the Deuce?
Oh, that hurts. Right? Who put that together? Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff there. So, yeah, thanks to Juan Toscano-Anderson, by the way. I mean, just a tremendous interview with JTA and the perspective that he has on everything as far as his journey, which you said at Dibs is you know, movie-worthy. But then also, you know, still Goo believing that he's got stuff to prove, because he's not guaranteed anything, like, officially for next year as far as a contract with the Warriors that's guaranteed or anywhere else. So, you know, his grind is going to keep rolling. And I think it's interesting, you know, because we were having this conversation about the SI.com article that came out with respect to Trevor Lawrence and Michael Rosenberg of SI.com. This dropped, what, a couple of days ago. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence, guys, has basically been the number one pick. I mean, for how long, Dibs? 2 years, right? It was like whenever Lawrence is going to go, he's going to be the number one guy. And so all eyes on, you know, 2 weeks from yesterday when he will be the pick for Jacksonville. And we get into this conversation of, like, some guys can be so good, Dibs, that, you know, they work hard, but it doesn't always come off like they work hard. And when their mentality gets examined, and we've got some quotes from this piece that we'll get to, it starts to make you wonder, like, can you get so good, Dibs, where all of a sudden the details and all of that can kind of go by the wayside a little bit?
It depends on what you look at as far as not the measurables and not the stats, because what, he's like 36-2 as a starter in college, or his numbers are extraordinary. His measurables are off the chart, and the body of work that he's put out on the field itself is so impressive that, yeah, he's a slam dunk number one overall pick. Mel Kiper Jr. of ESPN, the draft guru, says he's, I think, the best draft prospect since John Elway, and he puts him on the list. It's Elway, it's Andrew Luck, it's Peyton Manning, and it's Trevor Lawrence as the four greatest quarterback prospects, you know, going back almost 40 years now to Elway. I think he was class of 82. So it's remarkable the company that he's in. And yet some of the comments in this SI piece make you scratch your head a little bit.
Yeah, Goo, you took exception to a couple of things. Go ahead. No, go ahead, Goo.
Yeah, but I'm just a guy. It's not I took exception. It's just, you know, we're in an era, you know, where we love Kobe, the great, late, great Kobe Bryant, the Black Mamba, because he was an assassin. You know, there's that old adage, blood, sweat, and tears. We talk about Jordan, and we talk about Tom Brady, how they can't sleep if they can't, you know, get over the hump or, you know, win a championship. And the whole narrative about great athletes is that want. And here's a guy that's about to go number one. And I don't care what sport it is, but you're about to give him the keys to your franchise. And he says, I'm okay if I don't win a chip. I'm okay. I don't need football. And to me, all I'm saying, guys, is that's alarming. And the lack of awareness from Trevor and his dad, who said if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, he's going to be just fine. To me, that would scare me because I'm thinking about, okay, Jacksonville, they're not going to the Super Bowl, we don't think. So what I'm saying is there's going to be hard times. There's going to be tough times. You're going to get knocked on your ass. And when I read this article in its entirety, Dibs, tell me I might be wrong for this, but I saw a scenario to where 3 or 4 years, he might fall in love with something more than football and walk away. And I was just like, wow, why would they give that to the public?
It just is interesting because do we have to have every athlete? Yeah. Is every athlete, is it mandatory that they have to express that winning is the most important thing in their world? And if they don't express that, in this piece in SI, Trevor Lawrence, who actually his girlfriend or fiance is also quoted in the piece saying basically, yeah, he wants to be the best he can be. And of course he wants to win. But if it doesn't happen, and I'm paraphrasing, if it doesn't happen, life goes on. And he's right. But as a fan, does that rub you the wrong way? The honesty and the fact that, you know, this guy, I think he's 21, maybe 22 years old. He's got a broader perspective than just, you know, if I don't win every game, if I don't win the Super Bowl, then my life's over. Does that bother you, or is that, you know, refreshing at some point?
Well, and here's one of the quotes, Goo, and this is Trevor Lawrence, and Dibs, you add his girlfriend, Marissa. He says, it's hard to explain. I want people to know that I'm passionate about what I do, and it's really important to me, but I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder that everyone's out to get me and I'm trying to prove everybody wrong. I just don't have that. I can't manufacture that. I don't want to. And then his girlfriend adds, there's more to life than playing football. So I don't know. I mean, if you're the 49ers, let's just you know, if you're the 49ers and one of these prospects, if it wasn't Trevor Lawrence or if it was, but if it was Fields or Jones or Trey Lance, I mean, and you're the 49ers or 49er fan and you were reading that kind of quote, and there's others we'll get to, what are you thinking, Goo?
It's a cause for concern because when you talk about the measurables, this guy, you know, Jamarcus Russell in regard to the cannon, the height, but that would have me pause. I would be like this, you know, normally you're supposed to love the game. And we just talked to a guy that didn't have, you know, I don't want to say this privilege because it's not, but he didn't get the silver spoon in regard to being the number one pick. And I just wonder if Lawrence didn't have this talent and knew that he was going number one, Dibs, would he have a different outlook? But I understand, you know, these dudes, these athletes aren't Neanderthals. I play football only. I don't go home. I'm not family. I just play football. I know it's not that. And they're actual people, but that is damning to say and put out there. And the wife, his brother, it just comes across to me in my world that he's not all the way invested. So when there's turbulence and they're not making the playoffs and the fans are getting uneasy, is he going to be like, I'm my check clearing. I'm Gucci. We're going to go hiking on the weekend. You know, this could get ugly. Like, they're going to use this against him if he doesn't pan out or the team has success, I feel.
They could, but, you know, then again, it just depends on how he handles himself and how much effort he puts into it. Because Eli Manning, if he didn't win those two Super Bowls, we would feel differently about Eli Manning because, you know, we talk about his pouty face and his he's not a passionate guy going out there and, you know, screaming at teammates, yet he's got two Lombardis. So we feel differently about Eli Manning than we do, for example, Philip Rivers, who each and every play that doesn't go his way, he's screaming at somebody. He's yelling at his wide receivers. He's yelling at the old linemen. And it's, you know, we see that and it's like, oh, Philip wants it. He wants to win so bad. Well, Philip never won anything. So do we think differently about Philip Rivers because he's passionate or Eli Manning? It just depends on the perception of it. And Guru, the part to me that is really interesting is something you brought up in the green room about what if this was Justin Fields who had this sort of opinion, or if it was Trey Lance, you know, quarterbacks of color who were saying this, would they get a different treatment? Is Trevor Lawrence getting a pass because he's a long-haired white guy who's got that, oh, easy breezy, almost like sunshine and Remember the Titans, you know, Goo?
No, it's a great question, and you know, I would answer that as it's an obvious yes, because we're already to a degree, JD, seeing what Fields is going through. And that was just with the work ethic and things of that nature. I know we got money to get away, but it's a fascinating question.
Yeah, and Goo, I'll let you finish that point here, but we do want to give away some money real quick. Time once again for the Splash for Cash contest, your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word DOLLAR to 72881. That's DOLLAR to 72881. Brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware, Patio Garden, and more at Osh.com. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. Goo, apologies for that, but we want to give the people an opportunity to get their money, but I'll let you finish
chicken.
That thought.
Chichenga Thunder Moneyball.
Yeah, and if, to answer Dibbs' question, had Lawrence not even come out, this article is not written, there still is an issue to me with the black quarterbacks in the National Football League and the the narratives that we've seen play out just a couple of days ago with Fields, and we'll leave that there, okay? But to me, what's greater is how the Niners are going to take this, you know, or any other team that's going to take these comments. If it was the Niners, would you pause? And, JD, I've been in many of job interviews where I needed the job, and I would never feel like I need to sell my hopeful employer on what I don't love about why I'm sitting in front of you trying to get. And that's what blows me away. It's not entitlement, but why would the Lawrences feel like they have to go down the whole rabbit hole of you got other interests? We get that. And I don't have that answer as to if I know I do got my answer. If Phil said this would be an issue. How about that?
Couple of quotes here, Dibs. Did you have a comment before I read a couple of more of these quotes?
No, quote it up.
Okay. Here's another Trevor Lawrence quote again from this story. Michael Rosenberg, SI.com. Lawrence says in the story, it's not like I need this for my life to be okay. I want to do it because I want to be the best I can be. I want to maximize my potential. Who wouldn't want to? You kind of waste it if you don't. And I think people mistake that for being a competitor. I think that's unhealthy to a certain extent. Just always thinking you've got to prove somebody wrong. You've got to do more. You've got to be better. How do you guys take that, Dibs?
Well, I take it as a guy who's got good perspective of the overall aspects of his life, because yes, he wants to be great and he wants to fulfill his potential, but if it doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world. And I think all of us in our careers, we don't want to be defined just by our jobs. You know, our life should be about, yes, your job, your personal health, your happiness, your family, your interests, your religious affiliation, and your relationship with God, etc. All of those things play into what should make you a complete person in totality. But there's almost a hypocrisy, because we want our athletes to be sold out, Goo, 100%, you know, win at all costs and, you know, do it for the team and for the jersey and for the franchise. But here's a young man who's being honest with his overall perspective, yet, you know, some people want to hold that against him.
Wow.
888-957-9570. Your reaction to these comments. If Trevor Lawrence was on the board and you were the Niners, would this give you pause? If this was Justin Fields or Trey Lance or Mac Jones, where this piece came out and some of these quotes were attached to one of these players, would it sway you one way or another toward picking one player over another? I'll be honest with you, Goo, and I apologize for jumping in on you there. I read the Trevor Lawrence quotes, and I wish I was a little bit more secure in myself to kind of have that laid-back mentality, because I tend to be a grinder maybe at the detriment of other things, but there is a conversation to be had for, you know, have you put in the work to get to that point, at least at this level as well, if you're Lawrence?
No, I totally get that, but the key word is work. And what it sounds like to me is, how invested is this guy in getting better, Dibs? How invested is this guy going to be on a fifth with 52 other guys in his locker room and a coaching staff putting in the work? And I wonder, and again, it's just my thought here, the fact that he knows he's going top three or top five, Dibs, is that why he can make comments like this? Like, I'll just go here. I have to. Draymond Green can cite every player that was drafted before him. And that was a chip. And it was chip on his shoulder to make him who he is today. And when Lawrence comes out and says, you know, I got other interests, I took it as I don't love the game as others, that would be a red flag. But to the degree to where I wouldn't draft him, I got to say no. But it would be concerning.
I think it would be a conversation I would have with him, but you look at his play on the field and you look at what he's done at Clemson and he's balled out and he's, you know, you've got Trey Lance by contrast at North Dakota State. He played one game last year and then he decided he was good. He didn't want to play anymore. And I understand. And that to me would be a conversation as well. Why did you not want to play out the remainder of the year? And I think the same question I had about Nick Bosa, who got hurt at Ohio State and then basically shut it down and, you know, called it a career at Ohio State. So for me, it's not a red flag. It might be a pink flag or, you know, it's something that I would definitely want to talk to the player about. But to your point, it wouldn't keep me from drafting Trevor Lawrence, because what you saw on the field is a guy who is competitive as a quarterback and he did want to go out and win and he had tremendous success at the highest level.
Can I ask you to this? What do we call the Mamba mentality? How do you define that, Dibs and JD, when we say the Mamba mentality?
It's a toughness. It's an unbelievable desire to compete and win at all times. And, you know, Juan Toscano-Anderson, who joined us at 11:30, he kind of embodies that. A guy, and he even mentioned it, JD, he still thinks he's got his back against the wall. And, you know, Guru, you asked him about the summer and what he wants to work on, and he can't wait to get in there and get in the lab and get stronger and get better. So that's kind of what I think about with the Mamba mentality.
Yeah, it's an unabashed refusal to give in to the ability to be great. It's just you're just never giving in ever for even a second. You're just getting after it constantly until the day that you're not on the earth anymore.
Interesting. Yeah, I think it's obvious when you make it. If this were Fields or he was black, I don't even need to say anything, guys. That I think this would be a major thing we'd be talking about.
Let's get to some phone calls. 888-957-9570. Robert in Concord gets us going here this segment on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Robert, you're on with JD, hey. Guru, and Dibs. Hey, Rob.
How you guys doing? This Trevor Lawrence character, I was a Clemson fan. But I don't like this dude. I don't like his attitude. I don't like his nonchalance. And I'll tell you nothing, Guru. I'll be telling you this, Guru. If that was Justin Fields saying that, man, they would dog this kid. There's a double standards here. That's just like Rob Gronkowski is always partying this and that. Oh, he's just a partier. But let some African American kid do the same thing that Rob Gronkowski did, then they'd rip him apart. Just like what they're gonna do to Justin Fields if he would have said that. This dude. I wouldn't waste my draft pick on. I'd go after Fields for any other kid. This dude, I don't care how great he is. He acts like he don't even care about playing football. That's the I'm getting for this dude. His dad's like, I don't care. Pay me. I'm gonna get paid anyways. I don't care. If I win, I win. If I lose, I lose.
it's a fair conversation to have. It's a fair question, I think, to ask. I think a lot of people go crazy, like Robert, in terms of the intensity level over that sort of thing, and rightfully so, Dibs. But I think you also you got to be careful, man, because everybody's wired differently. And, you know, some – we all know people that get by just fine and are successful at the highest level, and they're just the laid-back dude that doesn't seem like they've got a care in the world. Not everybody, Dibs, is a grinder.
Right, and I look at what he did on the field. 10,000 yards at Clemson in 3 years, 90 touchdowns, 17 picks, a QB rating of 164.3. The guy is accurate, he's strong, physically he's the prototype, and he won at Clemson. I don't recall him begging out of games or ducking away from tough situations. Maybe he's not an outgoing, vocal, rah-rah kind of quarterback. And you know what? The 49ers' current starting quarterback isn't that guy either. Jimmy Garoppolo is more of a mellow kind of guy, and he's not, you know, going to be the first one to charge through the wall and you know, get in somebody's face. And so I don't think that we can paint everyone with the same brush. To the point about Justin Fields and the perception of a African-American quarterback versus a white quarterback, that's absolutely real. And you know, Guru, it's something that you and I have talked about on air and off air. All these false narratives about Justin Fields and work ethic and this and that. There was a clip that I saw on Twitter a couple weeks ago of a play where Fields hands it off to his running back who breaks a tackle, and he's going to go about 80 yards to the house. And Justin Fields, after handing it off, sprints down the field and eventually makes a block at the 5-yard line that helps his running back get into the end zone. And you know, you talk about work ethic and all that other BS. It's just a false narrative.
Yeah, big time. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. Let's get to Marco in Petaluma. 888-957-9570. Got a lot of people that want to talk here. Marco, you're up next.
Yeah, you know, the caller before, I think he's got to tone it down. I mean, he's probably never strapped on a helmet or laced up a pair of high tops to get on the court, but look, I think you guys hit on it earlier, right? The body of work speaks for itself, and you're not going to always get a Kobe or a Dr. J or a Michael Jordan. Sometimes you're going to get a Tim Duncan or a Kawhi Leonard, and they're just as productive, just as impactful, but they just go about it in a different way. And I think you have to realize about that with some of these athletes, right? You're not going to get a Mamba mentality all the time. Doesn't mean that the guy's not willing to work his butt off. Now, in terms of the narrative, with you know, black and white quarterbacks, I do believe there's something there, right? Because you know, the stuff that Fields has taken is just unwarranted. The kid played injured and played through with, what was it, like, you know, a beat up ribs in that one game, and he still went out there and battled, and yet, you know, they're calling into question stuff about him. So, you know, that's just my take on it. I think you gotta kind of, not everyone's gonna have the MJ or the Mamba mentality, and these guys are still gonna put up good numbers because, you know, they know what they're talented with and they know how to get along. And a lot of athletes nowadays are just more laid back. It's just they're more in touch with, you know, other parts of their life just because I think they have a lot more distractions than just the sport.
Yeah, thanks, Marco. I think that's a good point. And I think it's, you know, Dibs, you mentioned Jimmy Garoppolo, and I think players that do have that more laid-back mentality, I actually think in some ways there's added pressure on them to perform because the first sight that they struggle, the first sight of somebody struggling that has that laid-back mentality, the first thing you do is say, oh, well, they're not as committed because they're super laid-back. And even that can be a misconception.
No doubt. But with the guy like, or guys like Garoppolo, they don't announce it. And that's why this story to me is fascinating, Dibs. You are right, and you cited how great he's been in college. But I'm looking down the road, like what happens when if he struggles, team-wise and personally. This is where, you know, you break out in hives. Like, it's going to take somebody that loves what they're doing to pay the dues and get better. Now, I will say this. If he was at a family reunion and he was in his living room telling his granny that he felt this way about the game, that's fine. But we all know what this social media, the world we're in now, these quotes are going in his file. There was nothing good that came out of these comments. And I'm not saying he's wrong for feeling that way, but let's keep it real. If he struggles and he struggles mightily, and we hear, oh, his work ethic or things like that, they are coming back to this article, and I just don't get where the positive was being honest to this degree on the eve 2 weeks before the draft.
Well, Dibs, they're going to go in his file, but it's not like it's going to prevent him from being the number one pick, right? I mean,
right, and ultimately, you're judged by wins and losses as a quarterback. You know, he can come out and throw for 4,700 yards as a rookie, but if they're 5-12, then it's empty calories. He's Matt Stafford is what he becomes. You know, and if he comes out and he shows that, yes, Sam, yes, I know we're going to break, okay? You don't have to double fist me, okay? You have no jurisdiction. You're a fill-in, okay? I'll speak until 2:08 if I want to.
I love you, Sam.
I do, too. I had to come down his road a little bit there because he went right in the camera on the Zoom telling me to break. I've been on the radio since before you were a zygote, Sam, and you got to Google that to know what that means.
I was telling JD, for the record.
Well, then you need to point to JD, young man, and not be trying to come down my road. Not on this Friday, not on this payday, Sam.
You stroke the beard, Sam. When addressing me, you stroke the beard.
Thank you. Exactly.
Wow, signs. I love it.
Let's just. But again, but Dibs, to your point, I have no jurisdiction because I'm a fill-in, so I stand down, sir.
Call it all week.
You've been in all week.
But, permission to go to break, everybody. We good? Permission to. Okay.
Getting bullied by a 20-year-old.
888-957-9570. Arnold, Scott, Pete, Drew. All that is coming up. You know what? I gotta. Wait a minute. Dibs. Yeah. That's all coming up here as Study Guru and Dibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Stymie, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Roll along here on a Friday, 888-957-9570. We got full phone lines talking about the Trevor Lawrence comments in the SI.com piece on him by the great Michael Rosenberg. We'll reset some of the comments, but quick thought here, Dibs, quick thought before we get back to these calls.
I'm shocked. I just picture myself in the interview telling my employer, you know what, I'm going to give you 75%. I coach Little League. I got a swim team I coach. I'm going to give you 70%, Dibs.
No, my 70% is better than everybody else's 100%, Dibs. That's what I'm telling you.
No. I don't think that you're fairly characterizing his comments, Goo, because he's not saying that he's going to give less than 100%. And what he showed you at Clemson is that he's a winner. And, you know, he's thrown for more than 10,000 yards, and he's gone out there and done it at the highest level. All he's saying is that, you know, it's not going to make or break his entire life if he doesn't go out and win the Super Bowl. So I don't think it comes down, for me, it doesn't come down to effort, like, oh, you know, he doesn't care. Or to me, it's just somebody who's saying he has some perspective in his own world as it pertains to his job. And I hope that we all have the same. I mean, we do a 4-hour show and, you know, we have a 4-hour pre-show meeting. It feels 4 hours anyway. And, you know, we all show up for the meeting and we do our best in the meeting. We do our best in the show and we work hard and keep apprised of all the sports news throughout the day and throughout the weekend. And we come back and we try and do it again on Monday. But these 4 hours do not define the totality of our existence. At least it shouldn't. And so for me, it's just an athlete giving you perspective as to his job. Now, is he being given a pass because of who he is versus, you know, another quarterback maybe not getting the same pass? That's another question entirely. But to me, this is not about Trevor Lawrence, you know, not giving 100%.
Let's get to Arnold in San Jose. Arnold, you're up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Arnold.
Hey, guys, great discussion. Thank you. Really enjoy your show. Really, really do. A couple things. The first thing I'll say is that double standard, it's for real. It definitely exists. And if you read any of the writing on both quarterbacks, you can see it very clearly. It definitely exists. The second thing is what I hear from Trevor Lawrence's comments is that I hear an athlete who's he's at complete peace and confidence. I just see that. And he's steady. And as far as, not giving it all, I think his success at Clemson really just, says it all. It's a piece that, I understand that as it transcends all understanding. And it's great. It's great to see guys like that. And the third thing I'll say is, as a former athlete, and I can't believe I'm saying that, but as a former athlete, I was that guy on fire. I was that guy that kind of got in your grill and was highly emotional. And looking back, I will say that I was the guy who needed that teammate who was more steady and more in control.
Thanks. Thanks for the call. Dibs?
That's a good share there. And I think that leadership comes in many forms. And, I've talked before about coaching athletes who wanted to win so badly, but they were unable to contain their passion and their desire to win, and it eventually rubbed off on athletes the wrong way. I myself, as a coach, JD, ran extraordinarily hot. And in my last year of my 3 straight championships coaching high school boys volleyball, I had a team, a group of seniors, and 2 or 3 of my best players were quiet kids. And one match we ended up losing, and I kind of lost it. I was, trying to encourage them to play better and to win. It's a match we lost. And after the game, one of my seniors, kid by the name of Morgan Cantrell, a.k.a. the Freak, a.k.a. the Phenom, a.k.a. Fifi, he pulled me aside and he said, "Coach, when you yell at us, it doesn't make us want to play any better. And in fact, it makes us not want to play. And it makes us not want to compete." And I had to take a step back, Goo, because I had never thought of it in that way, because to me, I wanted to win so badly, and that's the way I was expressing myself. But this young athlete and his teammates, Dave Henderson, a.k.a. Hendu, they were quieter kids. And so I needed to, as a coach, figure out different ways to reach them. Now, they wanted to win as much as I did, but they expressed that desire in different ways. And this is a long way to get to the point of Trevor Lawrence is a guy who wants to win. He's competed at Clemson. He won a national championship. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. But because he's not maybe, a psycho when it comes to wanting to win and this is my life and it's ride or die, I think that he's being judged unfairly because of that.
Now, Dibs, I'm not 100% disagreeing with you. And I'm not saying Lawrence can't get it done. But, JD, the one thing that sticks out to me is this guy's telling you he doesn't love the game. So forget where he was at Clemson. Forget the success he had. But in this instance, that scares me, because if he's not going to get there's a Jimmy Garoppolo in Jacksonville, he's getting handed the keys. And what if there's a Ray Lewis, a veteran, whose window is closing and he's trying to win his first Super Bowl, and you're going to give the keys to a young guy that's coming in and he's telling you he doesn't love the game? We all have to admit that just the locker room aspect of it, there's going to be issues. Now, Dibs, you could be totally right, and he comes in, he has success, he's badass, but JD, as an owner and GM, you not loving the game, does that mean you're going to walk away in 4 years? Does that mean you're going to walk away? I mean, that's how I'm taking these comments, and you could say I'm overreacting, but when you tell me you don't love something and I'm about to change your life financially and hopefully change my organization, it doesn't sound like you got 2 feet in. That's all.
I think, I just think you're overreacting a little bit. And 888-957-9570, I would love to hear people's input on this topic, because I think about Anthony Davis, the unibrow. And, if you've ever heard him speak, then that's new to me, because the guy doesn't say much. And he's not out there pounding his chest and growling at opponents. But there's no sense that he doesn't want to win. And there's no sense that he doesn't love the game. He's just a more quiet guy. He's a shy kid. And, you know, he expresses himself in different ways. You know, Draymond Green, it's easy to see with the naked eye how badly he wants it. Klay Thompson would be completely the opposite. You know, Klay Thompson's a guy who isn't demonstrative, and he goes out there and goes about his business. So all I'm saying, Goo, is that wanting to win can be expressed in many different ways. And, you know, I don't think that Trevor Lawrence has yet shown that he has no desire to go out there and win.
Go ahead, JD.
No, go ahead, Goog. Real quick, if you want to get it in, because I'm going to get to the calls.
If he was your neighbor, Trevor Lawrence, would you at least give me this, Dibs and JD? These comments didn't help him. And I think that's where the picture I'm trying to paint, they didn't help you. You still want to be badass? Yeah. They didn't help you, JD. That's all.
Yeah, and I don't even know. I don't even know that they didn't help. Maybe they put a little bit more pressure on. You have to go out and perform, I guess, because if you don't perform, look, mm-hmm. if you don't perform, then people want you to be more of the Draymond type, right? Like it benefits you if when you don't perform, if you're demonstrative, if you are vocally out there, you know, boisterously saying I'm all about winning. So I hear you on that part. But if he goes out there and balls, nobody's going to give a damn whether he's got a little bit of a laid back mentality. I mean, remember when Aaron Rodgers was too cool for school in the 2005 draft, and it was, you know, Mike Nolan, you know, doesn't want to, you know, Mike McCarthy when he was with the Niners at that point. He kind of gave off a bad vibe. Remember there was something about it. He came wearing sunglasses or something, and it was like, I don't know about this guy. He's committed, the California kid, too laid back. Yeah, Hall of Famer. Hall of Famer, and should have been the number one pick unequivocally in that draft. Let's get to Scott in Hayward. I can't believe I just defended Aaron Rodgers of everybody. Scott, you're up next here.
R-E-L-A-X.
On 95.7 The Game. Hey, Scott.
Good conversation about this, guys. I think you're spot on. I got to disagree with Goo. I found the comments somewhat neutral personally. I thought it just lent a little insight to his personality. I thought he sounded like a well-rounded guy with good perspective. So I didn't hear him say he didn't love the game. And as a side note, you know, take Joe Buck. He once said he didn't like baseball. I think any one of you guys in the studio would kill for Joe Buck's career in baseball and success. So loving something and being good at it, I mean, you know, they might be two different things. Clearly the kid's got passion for it, of the work he's done. The body of work shows it. But what I called for was to lend a little insight. I've been interviewed quite a few times in the last couple of years. I have a small hot sauce company here in Hayward, California. I got a sauce on the show Hot Ones. It led to a couple things. Playboy wrote about it and Maxim magazine, and I was called for interviews. And no matter how innocent the question and how well you articulate your answer, I found that they would always screw something up in the translation of my verbal answer to their written pages. And sometimes they lead to not flattering impressions. One changed word can lead to an incredibly different impression of what somebody says, like the impression Guru's taking away from just reading whatever they printed. And no offense to the author. I think Michael's a great writer. But I know you guys are aware of this, that the translation from the written word, from the verbal speech, can often be different and can often have a little slip in context or a little slip in translation that leads to these kinds of dramatic conversations.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Scott. Really appreciate it. 888-957-9570. Let's go to Pete in San Ramon. Pete, you're up next here on Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on a Friday. Hey, Pete.
Hey, howdy, gents. Happy payday.
That's it.
Two things. One, the positive that comes from being honest is being honest. And I think that's real good. The other thing that I kind of took note of him was a quote about not caring to necessarily prove naysayers wrong. I think that's a great perspective.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it. I mean, yeah, there is something to be said for Goo as far as, yeah, I'm going to go play my game. I don't have to be necessarily motivated by anger or by, you know, what somebody says negatively about me. I'm just going to go do my thing, and my thing is good enough. Everybody, though, is wired differently.
I'll give you that, but everything's been perfect for this young man at Clemson, Dibs, losing two games. What's going to happen when it's not going so good? And, you know, the articles are out there, or there's dissension amongst your own team. You know, that don't even involve you. At what point does my love of the game have me think, you know what, I've had enough of this? That's all I'm saying.
Right, and I don't think that we've seen any real evidence, though, of Trevor Lawrence shutting it down or turning down opportunities to compete. And, you know, this interview obviously came a couple of weeks before the draft, and he's having a little perspective because he knows he's going number one overall. And I don't know exactly what that slotted number is, but he's going to be a millionaire in 13 days from now when he gets drafted and he puts pen to paper. He's going to be a multimillionaire before he even takes a snap, before he even puts his hands between the legs of a stranger and grabs that pigskin for the first time. Yes,
what?
Sam, I said it. What? He's paid. He's paid in full, Eric B. and Rakim. And so he's just stepping back and giving you a little perspective. And I think it's a little bit unfair until we see him out there. And, you know, if they start out 1-7 and following that seventh straight loss and they say, Trevor, you know, how do you make this right? And he says, yeah, I don't even really care. I mean, I'm just out here to play. I don't even, you know, my life is good. I got a woman who loves me. My bank account is flush. I'm good to go. Until that happens, I think he gets the benefit of the doubt.
Hell yeah.
Let's get to Drew in Oakland. Drew, you're up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Drew.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just a few things on this topic. I mean, you know, obviously this kid, this young man is very good. He's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft for a reason, because he's a good, great player. So, and we don't know his life. Nothing in his life could have been easy this point. You know, it might be a struggle, but what I appreciate about this is, as a fan, you know, we want our guys, people that we pick, to be robots. We think that, you know, they have to eat and bleed and sweat football, baseball, basketball all day long. And you don't have to. I mean, when you, in your profession, you know, there's some guys that when the mic's turned off, they go listen to other shows to get better. And other guys, they don't listen till tomorrow when it's time to have the pre-show meeting. So it doesn't make them one better than the other. It just shows that, hey, and, you know, that there's more to life. And here, look at Shaq and Kobe, right? Kobe criticized Shaq for, if he would have worked harder, he could have been, you know, two or three times more champion. But it didn't work out. And another reason I think he said this, because he knows coming down his road, there's going to be pressure. He knows it's coming. So as the number one pick, you got to get ready for it. And by making those comments, you know, maybe down the road, he says, well, I told you, you know, going into this, that I don't eat and poo football. So, you know, I'm working at my craft. I'm going to get better. And moving forward, this is what you have. And you can't look at Josh Dobbs. He's a quarterback. He's a backup, I think, of the Steelers. And in the off time, he's a rocket scientist, I hear, some type of engineer. So not everyone has to work on their job night and day to be good. And if they are good, Steve Jobs, a perfect example, he ran two companies. So don't criticize somebody for those comments, because, you know, we don't do our job 24 hours a day.
Sure. Yeah, thanks, Drew. Appreciate the call. Good stuff. Go ahead, Goo.
No, I was just – it's not criticizing the guy, fellas. I just – dibs. It's, to me, have we ever seen a top or a soon-to-be top pick say on 13 days before the draft or whenever this was done recently, I don't love the game? So my big takeaway is volunteering this information. You're talking too much. These words are going to come back and bite you in the ass. And for Pops to say, oh, he ain't gonna lose any sleep if he don't win the Super Bowl, I'm just saying that's odd to me. I've never heard that from a soon-to-be top pick.
I just feel like you're misquoting him, because I didn't see anything in there where he says, quote, I don't love the game. So that's where, you know, maybe it's the leftover asparagus I just ate that's got my stomach feeling some kind of way. And maybe it's just your misquoting of young Trevor Lawrence, because I don't read those quotes and think he doesn't love the game. What I see is a quarterback who's got a bigger perspective than just, this is my life, do or die. And again, maybe I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt because of what he did at Clemson and the fact that he's, you know, 3 years in college and he had an impeccable career. career. Now, if he really didn't love the game, I think that you could look at Andrew Luck and say he doesn't love the game. A guy who walked away from a career early, you know, he had injuries and he discovered that he loved something more. I think it would be more fair to criticize Andrew Luck as somebody who, quote, doesn't love the game as opposed to Trevor Lawrence.
Well, and let me read a couple of these quotes again. I think it's a good point to reset a couple from this SI piece. Michael Rosenberg, Trevor Lawrence saying, it's hard to explain because I want people to know that I'm passionate about what I do and it's really important to me, but I don't have this huge chip on my shoulder that everyone's out to get me and I'm trying to prove everybody wrong. I just don't have that. I can't manufacture that. I don't want to. And he goes on to say, you know, it's not like I need this to be for my life to be okay. I want to do it because I want to be the best I can be. Again, not totally a negative connotation there. I want to maximize my potential. That's another, hey, I want to be great. Who wouldn't want to? You've kind of wasted it if you don't. And I think people make the mistake that for being a competitor. I think it's unhealthy to a certain extent just always thinking that you've got to prove somebody wrong, you've got to do more, you've got to be better. Goo.
Yeah, I hear you. I appreciate his honesty, but I'm reading that article as you were reading, JD. I was reading so I could give the my love for the game so I could read that to Diz. But, yeah, take a call. And, I mean, this is – I love this. I just hate that he was so forthcoming. I think it did him no good, no favors.
And Andrew in Fairfield, you're up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Andrew.
Sorry, Diz kind of took – said what I was calling about was that Trevor Lawrence never really said he didn't love the game. I think he loves the game very much. He just doesn't – it's not going to ruin his life if he doesn't win the Super Bowl. He's not going to live his whole life to win a game. I think, if anything, that gives him a little more perspective. You know, if things aren't going right on the field, if they take some L's, he's not going to maybe go and have a few too many off, you know, off the field and get into some off-the-field trouble that he lives for other things other than football, and that can maybe give him a better drive, you know, on the field. It doesn't have to just be about winning. But, Dibs, you hit it on the nail. Thank you, man.
Thanks, Andrew. I appreciate it. And, Sam, I appreciate you not giving him the quick hook like you've given so many callers. It's got that itchy trigger finger over there, young man. It's middays. We can let it flow a little bit there, kiddo. But I think the proof will be in the pudding, Goo. And I think something you said earlier about the first time he faces adversity, then we're going to get a good sense for how much he wants to have a chip on his shoulder. Because when you're at Clemson and, you know, Dabo Sweeney and company, and you pretty much roll through everyone, the ACC didn't pose much of a threat. And you got in the college playoff and you won it once and you lost it last year. Well, let's see what happens when you go to Jacksonville and, you know, you go 2-7 in your first 9 games. And we'll see if he still has that laissez-faire attitude or if that chip starts to emerge on his shoulder at that point.
Well, to tie this all up, let me ask you this, guys, because we brought up the race element. If you guys are taking this as he does love the game, or I'm misquoting him, which I don't think I am. I'm about to read a little excerpt for you. But why would this be damning if Fields had said it then? If these are good comments in your estimation?
It shouldn't be.
Wow.
To me, it shouldn't be. But I agree. I think we all agree that double standard, Dibs, exists. I mean, all three of us believe that.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, they're making stuff up. And I don't know who's the one floating these false narratives about, oh, Justin Fields, he doesn't have a good work ethic. Well, there's no evidence to that. And I don't know why somebody is casting those aspersions upon him. And I think that there's a certain element racially, Goo, that is in play here, that maybe he's getting a pass and because, you know, he's a tall kid with the long hair and it's like, oh, it's just he's a laid back, you know, kind of not a California kid, but I think about Sunshine from the movie Remember the Titans, where he comes in
nice.
And he's just, he's all chill and, you know, it's Sunshine. It's just, you know, it's his nature.
And I'll say this about Fields real quick here. I almost fell out my chair the other night. They said and you know what, Dibs, this could be true. But to say it, and I don't want to put it on Orlowski, Dan Orlowski, who I like his commentary, but process, that Fields' processor is not, you know, it's not as fast, Dibs. And I was like, oh, my God. To me, that was like Tragic Johnson. Like, it just sounded bad because he was a black core. So you're basically saying, you know what I'm saying, the brain ain't working. I don't get it, but it sounded bad, J.D. I didn't like it at all.
It definitely sounded bad, Dibs. You want to jump in there real quick?
Well, I just think about, you know, Jared Goff, and that's been the knock on Jared Goff, who doesn't process things. But to say that about a quarterback who, you know, at Ohio State, I didn't watch every one of his snaps, but sure looked like he was able to process pretty well and make plays in a number of different ways. And it's just, it's tough for me when you analyze a guy and you say stuff like he's unable to process. Well, when you get to the NFL and coordinators are able to adjust to you, not over the course of weeks, but over the course of series, then we'll see, you know, all these young quarterbacks, how quickly they can process.
We'll keep this conversation moving here. 888-957-9570. We got a lot of people that want to squawk. We're also going to have the Juan Toscano-Anderson interview from earlier on in the program. We're going to re-rack that coming up at about 1:30, and keep it locked here to 95.7 The Game, as Steve Kerr is going to join Damon Ratto and Kolsky at 3 p.m. So this conversation continues momentarily. It's sponsored by Safeway. Safeway, the largest buyer of Northern California produce, invites you to come in today and save on fresh, juicy, premium red seedless grapes, just $1.68 per pound, and large 2-pound pack sweet strawberries on sale for $4.88 each. Safeway, come in and explore.
Time for the Exergen temperature check. It is 64 degrees and sunny in San Rafael.